ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। बिफोर आई बिगिन आई वुड लाइक टेक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ इस क्रिया ज्ञानगम्य प्रभु अ वेरी सीनियर डिसाइपल ऑफ श्री प्रभुपाद एंड आई एम फीलिंग वेरी मच annoyed sitting here and speaking in front of him. I'll take his blessings and pray that he can comment after the class if I made some mistake. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 8. The chapter is entitled The Lord Slays the King of the Demons, text number 46th and 47th. So I'll read 46th first and then we will repeat 47. Shri Vidyadharauchu Vidyam Pritagdharanayanuradham Nashedadagyo Balavirya Driptaha Sayena Sankhe Pashuvaddhatastam Maya Nrsimham Pranatasmanityam. Translation of Shri Prabhupada. The inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka prayed, our acquired power to appear and disappear in various ways according to varieties of meditation was banned by that foolish Hiranyakashipu because of his pride in his superior bodily strength and his ability to conquer others. Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead has killed him just as if the demon were an animal. Unto that supreme pastime form of Lord Narasimhadev, we eternally offer our respectful obeisances. Text number 47. Shri Naga Uchuhu Yena Papena Ratnani Stri Ratnani Ritani Naha Tadvaksha Patanena Sam Dattananda Namostute. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The inhabitants of Nagaloka said, the most sinful Hiranyakashipu took away all the jewels on our hoods and all our beautiful wives. Now, since his chest has been pierced by your nails, you are the source of all pleasure to our wives. Thus we together offer our respectful, humble obeisances unto you. Purport. No one is peaceful if his wealth and wife are forcibly taken away. All the inhabitants of Nagaloka, which is situated below the earthly planetary system, were in great anxiety because their wealth had been stolen and their wives kidnapped by Hiranyakashipu. Now Hiranyakashipu having been killed, their wealth and wives were returned and their wives felt satisfied. The inhabitants of various lokas or planets offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord because they were relieved by the death of Hiranyakashipu. Disturbances similar to those created by Hiranyakashipu are now taking place all over the world because of demoniac governments. As stated in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the men of the governments of Kaliyuga will be no better than rogues and plunderers. Thus the populace will be harassed on one side by scarcity of food and on another by heavy taxation by the government. In other words, the people in most parts of the world in this age are harassed by the ruling principles of Hiranyakashipu. So, based on this purport today, we will discuss two themes. One is the power of Hiranyakashipu, and second is the disturbance in a social structure or a family life of a person. So, I was just going through Srila Prabhupada's books regarding estimating the power of Hiranyakashipu. For example, if you want to really take shelter of Krishna in this material world, we need to know the power of Maya Devi, the illusory energy. By estimating the power of Maya, we can estimate the power, we can estimate the need for us to take shelter of Krishna. So Hiranyakashipu's power can also be estimated when we see actually how powerful these people were who were praying here to Lord Narsingadeva. They were not ordinary people. They were not some ordinary people living in Mumbai who were coming and offering prayers in the temple of Lord Narsingadeva. These are all great rulers of different planets in this material world. So, since I'm covering two verses, one is the prayer of Vidyadharas, another is the prayer of Nagas. So I went through books of Srila Prabhupada and saw who are these Nagas who are praying here. So Prabhupada mentions in different purports of his that the Naga Loka, which is also called as the Patala Loka, is situated in the lower planet systems. And Prabhupada mentions that because it is a lower realm, the sun rays cannot reach beyond the earth. They cannot go down. Yet this whole planet is illuminated because the Nagas who stay on this planet, they carry a special jewel on their hoods. And that jewel illuminates the whole realm. In fact, Prabhupada says not just the Naga Loka or Patala Loka, the whole Bilva Swarga, this whole planet seven, the lower planets beneath the earth is called as Bilva Swarga. Bilva means hidden place or a cave. Bilva Swarga, hole. Swarga. Why Swarga? Because like Swarga Loka in the upper planet systems, even these planets are very prosperous. Where the Daityas, Danavas, Nagas, and Pishachas, and all those people stay there. These people are very powerful, and they enjoy almost the same kind of richness or wealth or prosperity like the Swargalok in the upper planet systems. Therefore, Nagaloks and the people inhabiting Nagaloks are not ordinary. In fact, it is mentioned that this whole planet is full of rivers, beautiful gardens, where they enjoy their life. And the capital city of Nagaloka is called as Bhogavati. In one of the Bhagavatam purports, or the Bhagavatam translations, Sukadeva Goswami is comparing the protection which the Dwarka Vasis received from Krishna in Dwarka compared to the protection the Nagas give to the Nagalokas. So you can imagine their power. Krishna's protection in Dwarka is compared to the protection of Nagas in the Nagaloka. And yet, Hiranyakashipu had the power to not only capture their wealth, but even kidnap their wives. So therefore, we can see that Nagaloka people who are praying here, they are not ordinary. Prabhupada says that these people are very extremely angry in Nagaloka. They are all demonic serpents. They have many, many hoods. Someone has 1, 5, 10, 100, thousands of hoods. And this planet is just above Yamraj's hellish planet. Lowest planet is this planet. So this is Nagaloka. Similarly, Siddha Loka is that planet where all the Siddhas stay. It is mentioned that Siddha Loka comes in the Brahma Loka planet systems. So it is almost like in par. It is mentioned that Siddha Loka is like a satellite of Brahma Loka. And therefore Siddha Loka is inhabited by people who have all mystic powers. Yogis stay there. Prabhupada says that one who is born in Siddha Loka, he gets all the mystic siddhis. It's not like he has to be born there and then he has to get educated in those mystic siddhis. By birth, that power comes. Unlike on the earth, we are born and we don't have anything. We hardly know anything. Then we have to get educated. And then we acquire skills. But in Siddha Loka, people get skills, those mystic siddhis, as a birthright. And yogis live there. And these people are like, they're called spacemen. They can travel in outer space without machines, Prabhupada says. So much siddhis they have got. And yet we find here these two sets of people are praying that how Hiranyakashipu had troubled them. So you can imagine the power of Hiranyakashipu. And therefore we see that in one of the chapters, the chapter is entitled is Hiranyakashipu terrorized us, the whole universe. So that was the terror of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was not a small time demon. He was really a great demon. And what was Hiranyakashipu's ambition? Hiranyakashipu's ambition was to become the lord of everyone. He wanted to become immortal. But in this material world, if you want to be successful in the material world, you cannot achieve success without harming others. It is always at the cost of others that you get success in the material world. And therefore people say that, why to practice spirituality? Just be good to others and be happy, be nice to everyone and have your own material ambitions. It is bogus. You cannot have your material ambitions and be good to others. You have to step on others' head and then only you will be successful. And that was Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be the powerful person, but he knew that he cannot be powerful if he doesn't conquer everyone. That is material world. In material world, one's power depends on others' distress. One's happiness depends on others' distress. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to be the Lord, but the problem with him was, just like Lord Krishna, he is worshipped by everyone voluntarily. But Hiranyakashipu wanted to be Lord, but he saw that no one is voluntarily worshipping. Therefore, he was forcing others to worship him. And therefore, what happened was, everyone was in distress in the whole universe. So just like in this whole universe, Hiranyakashipu was troubling everyone. Similarly, in our own system also, in our own life, we also have Hiranyakashipus who are troubling us. And we are seeing here that how all the inhabitants of different planets are praying to Lord Narsingdev for his appearance and having killed Hiranyakashipu, and they are so satisfied. Similarly, we all can achieve satisfaction in our life when his Hiranyakashipu in our lives will get eradicated. And therefore, we need to pray to Krishna to appear in our hearts. And therefore, when Krishna appears in our heart, or Krishna appears in this world, he comes and destroys the distress of his devotees. We find in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Mahaprabhu's Leelas, that how in both cases when Lord appeared, the situation was not good for devotees. They were facing distress. We find in the life of the devotees in the Mathura district or in the whole world, we see that how Krishna book begins. Chapter 1 begins by saying that how the earth was overburdened by the demonic rulers, demonic forces. And because of which she took the form of a cow and she approached Brahmaji and all the demigods. And they all went to Lord Vishnu for help. So the earth, Mother Earth was overburdened. Vasudeva and Devaki, they faced so much of trials to get Krishna as their son. They had to be in prison and they had to see their own children being massacred in front of their eyes. Which parent would like to see these incidents? But six children, one after another, they saw being killed in front of them by their own relative Kamsa. And later also they had to face so much of trial. Still Krishna came back to Mathura and killed Kamsa. And everyone had to flee away from Mathura and take shelter in different dynasties, different kings, different kingdoms. Because the atrocities of Kamsa was very powerful. And therefore Krishna appeared. And at that time when everyone was distressed and Krishna came and relieved the burden, Krishna came and killed Kamsa and all of his who were there with him, and everyone was happy. Similarly, in Mahaprabhu's time, it is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, a similar thing happened when Mahaprabhu was about to appear in Navadvip Dham. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat that when Mahaprabhu was about to appear, goddess of luring Saraswati made Navadvip into a flourishing city, flourishing a town. And this whole place became the seat of learning. In fact, people from all over the world would come to Navadvip to learn and study there. In previous ages, people were more inclined to knowledge. Knowledge is considered more important than wealth also. Of course, today's age, people are not interested in knowledge also. More in wealth, in sense gratification. But previous ages, people were interested in knowledge. A person was considered to be very important when he is learned. So therefore, people would come from very far off places to Navadvip and to get educated. And Nodip became such a prosperous place that it is mentioned that Nodip had ghats on the banks of Ganga everywhere. That's like when you go to Varanasi, you will see so many ghats. Kilometers after kilometers, only ghats on the banks of Ganga. Nodip had so many ghats and such huge ghats that in one ghat, 1 lakh people would take bath. That was the glory of Nodip at that time. So people were prosperous, people were very learned. Even small children would debate with each other. That was a power of learning. But the problem was, when so much of learning was there in Nodip, people became very much proud of their learning. And it is mentioned that even the great Brahmanas like Bhattacharyas, Mishras, Chakravartis, they were for namesake Brahmana. Why? Because they forgot the essence of scriptures. And they were only leading a life of showing others some religious fervor in their life. They are only interested, Chaitanya Bhagavat mentions, they are only interested in getting their children married in pomp. Their goal of life was to amass so much of wealth and so much of power and so much of influence that there was a competition. Who will get his children married the best? And not only that, it is mentioned that there was so much of degradation of religious principles that when they had no one to get married to, the children were married and they had so much of still power, they would get married their pet dogs. They would get a dog, a he dog and a she dog, and get them married and spend money on that. And they would consider this as religious. If pet animals were not available, then they would bring dolls on market and get dolls married. And this is how they are wasting their life. So this was seen in Navadvip. Now before Mahaprabhu came, many more devotees had already appeared. Like before Krishna came, Devaki, Vasudeva and all, so many devotees were already had appeared. So before Mahaprabhu came, many devotees, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata were there, Nilambar Chakravarti, Murari Gupta, they were all there. And when they saw this this whole plight, the situation of Navadvip Dham, they were so much distressed. And they tried their best to preach, but they were not successful. So it is mentioned that even though they were not successful, they did not lose enthusiasm in their devotional service. They failed in preaching, but they continued their sadhana very strongly. And they should regularly meet a handful of devotees and practice Krishna consciousness under the leadership of Advaita Acharya. In fact, they would have regular kirtans in Srivash Thakur's house. And Srivash Thakur's house was a central place where everyone would meet. And because of that, Srivash Thakur would always get threatening calls from the local people. Because all these Brahmanas would be very upset with Srivash Thakur. And they would threaten Srivash Thakur that because of a loud kirtan, the Muslim king will come. And he would come and he would ransack the whole village. So therefore stop this kirtan. Otherwise we'll all come and we'll destroy your house and throw your house in the Ganga. So not only people are practicing Krishna, not practicing Krishna consciousness, even the devotees were threatened in their practice of Krishna consciousness. And at that time, Advaita Acharya decided that now I will sit down on the banks of Ganga and I will pray for Lord Krishna to himself appear. So this was Advaita Acharya's prayers for Lord Chaitanya to appear. Meanwhile, when Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, in whose house Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was supposed to appear, what was their plight? Their 8 daughters died just when they took birth. And the 9th was the son, Vishwarup, and the 10th was Lord Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So after 8 calamities in their life, the 9th was Vishwarup, and 10th was when Mahaprabhu appeared. And Chaitanya Bhagavad Vrindavan Thakur mentions that generally someone worships Krishna when it's in distress, but in joy he forgets Krishna. But Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in their house, they went and immediately worshipped Krishna. So that is the glory of a devotee, that he doesn't remember Krishna only in distress. He remembers Krishna at all times. So we can see that from here, that how when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna and Lord Narasingha appeared, they relieved the distress of so many people. Sri Prabhupada says in this purport here, that no one is peaceful if his wealth and wife are forcibly taken away. In this case, the Naga Lokas, the inhabitants of Naga planet, Their particular problem which they faced from Hiranyakashipu was the jewels on their hoods, which were illuminating the whole planet systems, that was taken away by Hiranyakashipu. And all the beautiful wives they had, they were kidnapped by Hiranyakashipu. So we can see that the social structure of family is made in such a way that any distress which comes in to one family member affects the whole family. It's like we have so many examples in today's world. You know, family is there, four or five people are staying together. One person is having problem, and that problem is troubling everyone else. And therefore it becomes very difficult even for people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, when there is trouble in the family life, to practice Krishna consciousness or to focus on Krishna consciousness, on Krishna's holy names. So therefore, in the beginning stages of our devotional service, till we advance, we require all these facilities. And therefore, we are very much afraid when something goes wrong in our life. Because the very platform on which we are standing, if that is shaken, then our Krishna consciousness is also shaken. And therefore, we require that basic platform initially. And therefore, here they are praying that, you know, that we got disturbed because our wives were kidnapped and our wealth was taken away. So, just like Hiranyakashipu was troubling people, in today's world we are finding this media industry is troubling everyone. The whole world is getting corrupted, both the men and the women. The men is corrupted by being encouraged by the media to take intoxication and commit adultery. And the women are being affected by being encouraged to be more free and less protected. And the result is disruption of family structure. And it's even seen, because we all devotees coming from this materialistic civilization, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we see in our life also that we are affected by this. Devotees are affected. Some problem with the wife, or wife having some problem with the husband or with children, the Krishna consciousness gets affected. Not only that, if it's very difficult if someone is undergoing a family problem, to preach Krishna consciousness to him is so difficult. Because his mind is so much entangled in those problems, he cannot take Krishna consciousness. Of course, some people do take Krishna consciousness because of this problem, but they are very few. And they are, like, we can notice them, that they have come, and we glorify that you took shelter of Krishna. But literally we see everyone, when they have problems in their life, they go away from Krishna more and more. So how can you preach to a person who has problems in family life? And not to speak of a devotee who has problems in family life. He is not able to fix his mind on sadhana or bhajan. And therefore now, after they have got their wives and their wealth, the inhabitants of Nagaloka are very satisfied. This is the proof that disturbance is there when something is taken away from you and it comes back to you, then you become satisfied. Satisfaction is not with Krishna consciousness, satisfaction with the platform which is required to practice Krishna consciousness. So that is the neophyte stage of Krishna consciousness. On the other hand, we see the prayers of Kunti Maharani. What she is asking? She will feel satisfied if Krishna takes all these attachments away. She is praying essentially to Krishna that please remove all my attachments to both these dynasties, Vrishnishu and Pandushu. My connection with Pandavas and my connection with Vrishnis, they are both devoted dynasties. But she is asking detachment from the dynasty. Why? Because she feels that the attachment on the material level might deflect her attention to Krishna. So she is praying. So that is the ideal stage of one practicing Krishna consciousness, where a person asks not material facilities, but asks attachment to Krishna. And whatever brings attachment to Krishna, he considers that to be a favorable situation in devotional service. Of course, that's an ideal stage for all of us, but till that time, since we're all attached to our platforms where we practice Krishna consciousness, whichever ashram we belong to, we should practice our sadhana properly, and ultimately one day we will make a prayer like that, like Kunti Maharani prayers, and not be like this prayer where they are happy seeing that the wives have come back, the wealth has come back. So this is our stage. We have to practice our sadhana so that we don't get affected by these troubles. The most important lesson which we can learn from this particular shloka is that all of these people who are different kinds of devotees, mixed devotees, pure devotees, one thing is very sure from their prayers, they are very grateful to Krishna. And that is one thing which we can learn. At any stage of life, we can be grateful to Krishna for what we have received. Whether we are pure fully or not, we are in sadhana stage or we are in prema bhakti stage. A devotee should never give up the idea of being grateful to Krishna. That is the whole idea. I was reading an article in Back to God magazine written by Urmila Mataji. She was speaking on the point of humility. And she was mentioning that sometimes when we hear about humility of great devotees from Chaitanya Charitamrit, then sometimes we might get an inferiority complex hearing their humility. You know, when they say that I am lower than worm in the stool, and Haridas Thakur is praying that I want to be born as a keet or a dog in a Vaishnava's house in the next birth. Such level of humility is very difficult. Even to ask also, we may sometimes have to plan nicely and then come out of prayer, and it will not come from heart also. So how to practice humility in our life? And she was mentioning that as we progress in Krishna consciousness, we should begin somewhere. And she mentioned nice points. She was mentioning that humility in our stage is to be honest. What is that honesty? Honesty means whatever we have it, we have it. And whatever we don't have it, we don't have it. That means if someone is a rich man and he says out of humility, no, I am very poor, that is not humility. And someone is very poor and claims that I am very rich, that is not humility. Or someone is very, let's for example say, someone is very expert in painting. And he says, no, I am actually worst of, I don't even know how to write, I don't even know what is brush. That is not humility. He is expert in painting. Real humility is honesty. That means he accepts that he is a good painter, he is a good artist. But he also knows that it has come by the grace of Krishna. And by the grace of Krishna it has come, and by the grace of Krishna it will go away. This is something which Krishna has given me, and therefore it has to be used in Krishna's service. That is honesty, and that is humility, she was mentioning. Like Arjuna's example is given, that he understood this point very well. When the episode comes in the Bhagavatam that Arjuna is bringing all the wives of Krishna from Dwarka to Hastinapur, and some infidel cowherd boys come and they defeat Arjuna. And that time Arjuna is contemplating, this is the same Gandiva Bhav, this is the same Arjuna. And I killed so many people, great Maharathis in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And here I am defeated by some infidel cowherd boys who didn't have proper weapons also. What was the difference in the two situations? The only difference was Krishna was not there. And then he realized actually whatever I had was because of Krishna. So honesty means that whatever we have is because of Krishna, and we need to be honest about that. And second point in humility, she was mentioning, Mataji, that humility also means to be grateful. That actually we don't deserve to have it. If we don't deserve to have it, and still Krishna has given us. The very famous story of that man who keeps looking his trunk every day in the office, you know, to check. And then his boss comes and makes him open the trunk. And he sees that there is a torn pant and a torn shirt and some broken chappals. And this person in the office is every day looking at this trunk to remind himself where he was in the beginning. And because of the boss, he is now in this position in the office. Similarly, in devotional service, we need to also remember where we were in the past and now where we are sitting here. Remember, then we can be grateful what Krishna has given us. So this is how we can begin our humility. We can be grateful to. So we can learn from this prayers that how they are grateful to Krishna. And therefore, we can always be grateful to Krishna for what Krishna has given us in our life, and that we don't deserve that, but still Krishna is so merciful. And that is how we can advance in Krishna consciousness and come to that level of Kunti Maharani, where we can make a prayer that maybe that all these attachments are not good for us. So here, in this particular prayer, in this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about the Nagalokas and the inhabitants of Nagaloka satisfaction. So we can actually think and imagine situation now where the inhabitants of Nagaloka have received their wealth and their wives. Can you imagine the situation they are having? How much satisfied they are? They have lost something in their life where they thought they will never get it, and now they have received it. So when we lose something in our life and we get it back, when we think it will never come, then we feel a special pleasure in our hearts. Similarly, when the dormant Krishna consciousness which is there in our heart, which is taken away, which is lost, when it comes back, that satisfaction is the ultimate satisfaction a spirit soul can experience in this material world. Nothing beyond it. But the problem is, these Nagalokas knew that they have lost something and they were worrying about it. But we have lost our dormant Krishna consciousness for so long lifetimes that you have forgotten that we have lost it. It happens sometimes that if we lose something for very long duration of time, we forget what we have lost. So similarly, we also lost our eternal constitutional position as servant of Krishna. And we are busy with our own lives, trying to get something material in this world. But when we get the eternal constitutional position, our Nitya Swarup, back in connection with Krishna, then that satisfaction which we achieve is much more than the satisfaction one receives by getting material things in life. So here, the Nagalokas are satisfied with what they have got. But how much the satisfaction will last? Is it eternal to have wives and wealth always? Tomorrow something else will come, some other problem will come, and they will snatch away everything. So the only position which we have is Krishna consciousness. And therefore we see our Vaishnava Acharyas, what do they pray? What do they call their wealth as? Their bank balance? Or the number of cars they have? No. We find our Vaishnava Acharyas praying Dhana Mora Nityananda and Pati Mora Gaurachandra. Or we find Lord Nityananda's prayer that Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhana Prana. So that is the real wealth, that when we accept that the only shelter is Krishna. And everything else is facilitating us to take shelter of Krishna. They are not the primary goal, secondary goal. Primary goal is to take shelter of Krishna always, at all times. And therefore we need to follow in footsteps of Kunti Maharani and the gopis. One devotee was mentioning that King Kunti Maharani, she is a lady. And she offered such beautiful prayers that even Vairagis, renunciates, they read this prayer and get inspiration from these prayers. Similarly, gopis, they are outwardly they are ladies. But even great renunciates like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri, they would always aspire to follow in footsteps of gopis. Why? Because they want to detach themselves. The gopis have a very powerful example in their life. Why? Because the gopis, they were ready to sacrifice what Nagalokas were dissatisfied with. They were sacrificing their own family life to reach Krishna. At the risk of being misunderstood by general populace for eternity to come, the gopis went to meet Krishna. Till today, 5,000 years ago, they are still misunderstood. But that was the risk they carried. And therefore, they are glorified because they wanted only Krishna in their life. I was reading one more BTG article, recent BTG article, where Yugavatarpu mentioned a nice point. He was mentioning that how, in times of difficulty, we should remember Lord Narsingdev, and that's what we can learn from Prahlad Maharaj. And he was mentioning his own incident in his life, that how recently he had some problems in his life, where Hiranyakashipu-like people were disturbing his personal devotional service. And he was saying that, he was confessing that actually when that time was there, then constantly during my chanting, I was thinking about Hiranyakashipu only. That Hiranyakashipu, why is disturbing so much? How should I overcome him? And he was saying that instead of thinking about Lord Narsingdev, I was thinking about Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad Maharaj, when he was disturbed, he was not thinking of Hiranyakashipu, he was thinking of Lord Narsingdev. And that is how a devotee should come to a level where instead of thinking of what the problem is, he should take shelter of Krishna. But we seldom think of Krishna that time. We think more about, in fact, while thinking about Krishna, we think about that problem. So that is the problem. Therefore, it's an ongoing process in Krishna consciousness to revert our attention to Krishna and come back to Him. And therefore, Prabhupada says there that Hiranyakashipu must have gone. But in today's world, we have Hiranyakashipu governments who are going to disturb us. How? By scarcity of food, and heavy taxation. And therefore, Hiranyakashipus are not gone away. Hiranyakashipu's representatives are still there. And therefore, problem is expected in our life. And what is the solution? As we learn from great acharyas, the only solution is to that wherever we are, we should not forget Krishna. And we should come back to the point of remembering Krishna in our life when problems come. And then only we will be happy. Otherwise, the problem will go away and another problem will come. So therefore, we cannot avoid material miseries in this world, which is a miserable place. But we can only do one thing. That is, we can inoculate ourselves or we can protect ourselves from not being affected by the miseries by taking shelter of Krishna. And this is what we can basically learn from this particular shloka. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Prabhu, you want to add something? Gyani Gome Prabhu? Yes, thank you, Mike.
Srila Prabhupada was asked why people leave Krishna consciousness. You made that point very nicely. After their material desires are fulfilled, then they think they're satisfied. We used to take many very dirty hippies off the street and come to our temple, and they shave their head and immediately, you know, shave the head. It was a much, much faster process then, but less successful. I see you have much more success here with a slower process. But they would come to Krishna consciousness, and they would be well fed, and they would, you know, have engagement, and they would do so many things. They would chant a little bit and so forth. But then they would go away after they were well situated again, after they got over their drug problem or whatever problem they had, or their poverty program. They would again go back into Maya. And so Prabhupada was asked, why is this? And Prabhupada said, because they think they are already self-realized. I think they already know everything. So like that, it's a very nice point that we must be always grateful for what Krishna has given us, how he has uplifted us. It's a very, very important aspect. And it is the key, actually, to humility, to understand that Krishna is the ability in man, and that if we become uplifted, it is simply Krishna's mercy. Thank you. It was a very nice class.
Any questions? Hare Krishna. So we'll end here. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.